Good morning, Fruitland Baptist Church. What a wonderful day God's given to us today. Amen. Oh, this is just wonderful. The peak of the harvest season. Let me tell you, the Lord's interested in his harvest today, and he's looking for every soul. He has great compassion and great love for the human condition. But anyway, on the basis of that love and the enthusiasm that God has for us, he never gets tired of us. He loves us with an everlasting love. I greet you and welcome to our services this morning. So let's stand today. We're going to sing. It's on the screen, or you have a handout in your bulletins. Come and behold him. So let's look upon the Lord today and see his beauty and see all the wonderful things that he's done for us in his love. Come and behold him. Come see his glory. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. We will discover all of his beauty. His light will burn away all the darkness we've known. Come and behold. Come and behold him. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. Come and behold him. Wait now before him. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. Come and behold him. Mercy. Come find his tenderness reaching to you. Just as a mirror shows his reflection, his word and spirit come now reflecting his love. Come and behold him. Come and behold him. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. Come and behold. Before him, come with an honest heart to see all he is. Again, I greet you in Jesus' name. Let's go to prayer for our invocation. Ask God to bless our time together this morning. Our Father in heaven, as we gather before your throne today, I pray, Lord, that we would take time to consider and to worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Lord, these attributes we've sung about this morning and many more that are recorded in the scriptures and that are obvious to our eyes are reasons, Lord, to understand who you are, to seek further your message for mankind of love. And Father, we're just struck with awe today as we are in the midst of the harvest season, the fall season here in the Northern Hemisphere. Your hand of beauty has been painted upon all the trees and the plants, Lord, that show again that you're in control of all things. This is the season of harvest. And Father, you have ordained these things for our witness to be able to see who you indeed are. Now, Lord, we thank you most of all, though, today for your word, the written word of God, the Holy Bible, that shows even further and more intimately and in great detail the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came out of love to redeem sinful and lost and hell-destined mankind. Lord, I thank you for all that have come through the doors today. I pray once again, Lord, that you would work with all of us individually. Lord, that there would be adjustments made to our lives today through the teaching of the word. And Lord, as always, I pray for a harvest of a soul today or more that has never yielded to you and understood their neediness before you and the sufficiency of your gift to us of salvation. Father, I pray also for many in our number that are not here today. We know there are people that are ill with spiritual ills, but also, Lord, physical ailments. And Lord, we never neglect to remember our community and our loved ones that are right around us, Lord. We ask again that you would use us as a living Bible and a living witness for you, a representative, an ambassador, to reach out to people with love and with the truth. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless our time together, and Lord, that we would be a blessing and a heartfelt, pleasing thing to you this morning. We thank you for your presence here with us. Where two or more are gathered, Jesus, we're glad you're here with us today. We are not alone. May this day be used for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I would like to direct you for just a moment to the right-hand side of our bulletin, and also this is found up on the screen today with some announcements for the week. One thing before I go into those, there are four different books, well, actually two copies of two different books that I have in circulation here, and one was returned this morning. I'm just going to give this a quick plug. I don't endorse everything in it, but it is a very good book to help you understand about the things that are going on right before our very eyes in our world around us today. Folks, there are major things that are taking place, things that people ought to be informed about and that are based in God's Word. So I'm going to leave that up here in this front pew this morning. And if someone would like to check it out, all I ask is that you continue to keep it in circulation. And you'll find that book to be a challenge. There's also another one written by Erwin Lutzer that's out in circulation too. I did see it a week or so ago, but continue to pass these things around. They are not superseding of Holy Writ, but they have some great value for the day which we live. Once again, welcome to everyone that we have with us today. We're glad for every person that's come through the doors. Well, tonight, there will not be an evening message, but at 6 o'clock, we're going to have something that we do here usually twice a year, but if not twice, once, and that is a family chat night. Now, this is not a night designed to come and attack people or anything like that. It's a time that we could maybe use for constructive criticism, but also for things that people would like to see differently done here at the church or that we believe would enhance the ministry. So everyone is welcome to come, and that's at 6 o'clock. That'll be tonight. We'll have a devotional, and we'll use the rest of that hour as a time to respond to one another, just like a good family should do, right? Communication, that's so vital. So come and join us tonight. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, the drama team meets up here in the auditorium. Just want to make you aware also that there is a Veterans Day service on November 11th. Of course, that's the day that was designated to honor all that have given their lives in service and their service. Memorial Day technically is the day for those that have given their lives in service, but there's still a component to that. But 9:30 a.m. at the Fruitland Cemetery, so a little advanced warning there. Wilton Bible Study would be 2 weeks from last Thursday, or November 11th at 6 o'clock. That's in the Presbyterian Church basement. Women's Bible Study, November 13th. You see a new address for Matt Swanson listed there. Dave and Diane Dunker need to be added to the calendar for an anniversary on the 6th of November. You'll notice that. And then also, I just want to call our attention again to our Institute for Creation Research seminars that will be held on Sunday, November 21st. There are some additional hard tag or oak tag flyers or hardback flyers to hang up, and then some ones on regular paper that you can hand out. I think that's all I had. Is there anything I've... Yes, Kim. Okay. Everyone hear that? And it's not too late to register if you haven't. So, yeah. All right. Yes, Al.
I'll have a new address as of Wednesday.
Okay. We'll be praying for your move, and you let Deb know that address. All right. Very good. Jeff.
117 West 3rd, Martin 1103.
Okay.
Yep. And the other thing, next Sunday
Yeah, we want to give you advance warning. You get an extra hour of sleep if you set your clocks properly. There you go. And that's a good thing, too. And I want to encourage us to come to all services of the church, to invite people and, to be out there encouraging not only ourselves to get here, but also those around us. Seems like there was one other thing now that slipped my mind, but maybe it'll come back eventually. But yes, the thought for the week is there in the bulletin, and you can read that. Pretty self-explanatory, but something that's worth thinking about. Anyway, we're glad you're here today, and at this time, we're going to have a time of prayer. Number one, to thank God for the offering, and those the gift and the giver, and we don't do a pass-out offering anymore, but there are receptacles. Again, we're not here to make money an issue, but incidentally, the next messages in the morning service for a while will be on giving and what the Bible has to say about that. But as you know, if you've been around this church long enough, we operate by faith through God's grace. We all know the Bible gives us responsibilities and privileges regarding giving, but we are not here to crank on people. God has done that very well himself and taken care of us, and he promises that he will, right? So I'm thankful for that potential here, but as we prepare to give today, we're going to thank God for that opportunity. Be sure to think again about how good he's been to all of us. And then as the ladies play there after the prayer, take some time to meditate and prepare your hearts for the reception of the word. Now, Jeff, did you have a hand?
Yes, and I'd like to thank the people that helped vote for our new screen.
Yep.
Jason, show them one more time what the screen looks like. Much better, isn't it? Thank you very
much. Now, thank you, Jeff, and I was just going to get to that, but, you know, this is not a device. Our new system is not a device just to be proud of or anything, but it's a device to be used. It's a tool, and hopefully it will be a blessing to all involved and all concerned. All right, is there anything else this morning? If not, let's go to prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you again today, Lord, and thank you that you are there to hear our prayers. Our prayers are not contingent upon what we do as believers, but they are contingent upon the power of the Lord Jesus Christ as he intercedes for us as our attorney, and upon the utterances and groanings of the Holy Spirit, which cannot be uttered, that come on our behalf before your throne. We realize, Lord, we in our own makeup are not worthy to come before your throne, but through, again, the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, the mediatorial efforts on his part, we have this ability now, Lord, to communicate with you directly. That's a wonderful thing, and you're a wonderful God. Lord, so often we become unthankful, ungrateful. We tend to think of ourselves that we've not been cared for as well as we should, all types of thinking that goes against your word. But the base content, Lord, that we find in your word with material things is that we ought to be thankful with the basics, which the Bible says is our food and our clothing. And how often, Lord, you've blessed us most wonderfully above and beyond that very basic need of the human existence. Lord, everything that we see that comes from your hand is good. And may we, Lord, understand what a privilege it is to be recipients of that. Lord, we give you thanks today for the jobs, the employment, the blessings that you've bestowed on us. And Lord, it's the least we can do but to give a part of that back to you. So Lord, you don't crank on us, but you ask us to get our heart right. And so this morning, as we thank you for this opportunity to give, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. And as it's governed through the word, Lord, that this might be found pleasing to you and that it would be given with a heart of cheerfulness or hilarity because we're so thrilled with what you've done. So I ask today, Lord, that you'd bless both the gift and the giver. And now, Lord, as we take a few moments to prepare our hearts, I pray, Lord, that attending it the church would not be a social gathering for that purpose only, but because of the reasons that we come for edification, Lord, and for evangelism. I pray that it would steer our hearts toward you at this time. Now, Lord, thanks again for this opportunity, and may this day be one, again, that you use mightily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies. Also, I would just like to say another word today. I neglect to do this quite often, but I wanted to let you know that up here in the front seat, there are Bibles available. If there ever be someone here that does not have a Bible of their own, we want you to have a paper Bible. We know that God's Word is accessible in many ways. There's probably very few of us that don't have a device of some kind or a home computer, personal computer, and the Word of God is freely available there. But we also want you to know that that's free here this morning. We want to be sure that people are able to have that resource to connect them to the Lord. We thank you again for your attention today, and it's good to see everyone. I see mostly smiles today. If there's any frowners, we put them in a separate section. But we have every reason to have a smile on our face this day, and we anticipate in the near future that our program will come back to full capabilities here as far as special music and some of the other enhancements. But as of yet, we're still going with just two hymns, and we pray. And also, I ask you to pray today, too. We have a fairly significant number of people that have not come back since COVID. And I just ask you to think about who those might be. I don't mention them by name, but pray that they'd be back in our doors. And that, again, some are still healing, but others may be fearful of the circumstances, or maybe some that didn't even have it. And that's a normal thing, but let's trust God, and we want to see people back today. Anyway, today we're going to continue on with our message that I've laid out now for how many weeks? 3 weeks, yes, it's a five-page message, but it's a message that continues on with a series, actually, about the basics of the Christian faith. And so for the last 2 weeks, and yet today, Lord willing, we're going to continue to look at the seven basic doctrines of the Christian faith. I want to tell you again, this is my compilation of those things. Don't go to a theology book. Some people have these reduced a little. Some have expanded them a little, but I go with the leading of God based on the Word of God, and there are seven key doctrines that are part of the inclusive message, the airtight message of the Word of God directed to man, that I believe are taught to be essential to our salvation. And any one of these seven doctrines that we may reject, I believe, would cause our salvation to be violated. So they are very important. We've looked at false teachers. I've illustrated a few. There's a plethora of those out there. The possibility could be that I would be a false teacher. I pray that that's not the case. I do my very best to properly exegete. There's a word for you, the Word of God. But let me tell you, it's your responsibility, as I've said many times, to see what's preached and how it lines up with God's Word. So you're not here just to consume today, but we're here to produce, and it's important for you to be aware. That's why I want everyone to have a copy of God's Word, whether it's on a device or in a paper Bible. It's very vital that you know and be engaged with what is going on. Well, that said, today, I want to ask you a little question. If someone were to come up to you on the street today and say, "Are you basically a good person?" How would you answer that? I'm going to ask for maybe two responses. We can't get bogged down. Anyone want to just bare your soul today and say what you have on your heart? Well, I'll start then. But I would like someone else to contribute. But what I would tell people if they ask me that question on the street today is that, you know what? I'm not a bad person necessarily, but I'm not as good as I should be. But what would I tell them next? That the Bible, and I just quoted this to someone earlier this morning, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. And so what I have to tell us today is that I am a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. But my makeup as a human being, as a part of the fallen race, which we're going to look at as one of the key doctrines here, is very important to our salvation, because you know what? Most people's response that you'll find on the street is what? I'm not too bad at all. Now, before we go one inch further, and I still want your responses, let's go to prayer. Father, simply I ask that you'd bless our time in the Word today, that you'd make adjustments on our hearts, Lord, through the revealed Word, and Lord, that we'd change here and be different than when we entered the door. I pray for a free course of the Word and for my lips to be freed today and the power of the Spirit to come upon me. You know my frailties, my weaknesses, And it's only you, Lord, through the Spirit that can allow this to happen. I ask for results today, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's my response. I'm nothing apart from Jesus Christ. And understand that while I'm not necessarily a terrible person, I'm still not a what? I'm not a good person. You know, most people that you run into believe this, that basically humans are good. But the Bible does not teach that. Kim, I'm sorry, Jason. I got to get my peripheral vision checked. Maybe I won't be able to get a license next time. I was just going to mention that. I've actually got it in my notes. We are not all as bad as we could be, but none of us as good as we should be. The doctrine that we're going to look at today to begin with is number... Oh, and by the way, if you don't have a sheet today for this lesson, there are some in the back. Is anyone missing a note sheet for today? Woodruff? Jeff, would you help us out? Okay. I actually have a spare. Same sheet. Yep. Well, we don't want to use any more trees than we have to, right? But I say if we need more paper, use the trees, right? Keep track of these things. The doctrine we're going to look at today out of the seven is doctrine number four, and it's the doctrine of the fall of man. So this gives us the basis of what has happened in our past. And to cut to the chase on this morning, the first man who was Adam, and the first woman who was Eve. And there's a doctrine that's called the headship of Adam, because ultimately Adam was responsible for what his wife did as well, because God placed him in that position. But the Bible's going to teach us what happened. And you all know what the Bible teaches, that mankind disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And because of that, what do we operate under yet today? We operate under death, both physical and the potential for spiritual death, which is referring to eternity in hell, where we would die eternally. Wrap your head around that one. But it also, you know, opened a door to what we know as the curse. And folks, I've had a rough week. Have any of you? I've had a lot of things that should have gone right but went wrong. Now, some of that can be blamed on me, and because I operate under the curse, I'm faulty. But there's a lot of things that we struggle with that are above and beyond our direct control that are part of the broken world. God never designed it to be that way in the start. He wanted everything to be perfect. But man made a poor choice, even though God warned him, and plunged us into that situation. So the fall of man, or what happened in the Garden of Eden, is essential to our salvation, because you can't be saved if you don't need to be saved, right? And if we're all good, and can we all admit this morning, well, can I hear from someone else? How would you respond to that? Go ahead, Al, you're first up.
I like to think I'm a true believer. With that being said, bear with me here. I'm a work in progress. I mean, we got to keep trying.
Yep. We can know that we're a true believer today by faith in Christ, by believing on Him. But Al is exactly right. We are a work in progress. And none of us will ever reach perfection on this side of eternity, you know, because of that lagging effect that comes from the fall of man. Okay, real quickly, Al, and then we're going to move. We are human, and we're fallen humans, okay? So the fall of man. We can all admit today we're not right, if you want to examine your track record. Not right on the basis of what God has said, but we can all admit it. You know, we had things take place this week that maybe in our thinking shouldn't have happened, but they did. And it's because of the curse that's upon us. Anyway, through the first man's disobedience to God, the race is tainted from God's design by death and decay by man's choice. And I wanted to let that be known again. There is only one race. Do not believe what our world teaches today, that we're all made up of different races, because it's not true. We're all humans created by God. We have different ethnicities, but folks, the DNA is all the same. We're one race. Anyway, let's go to the scriptures this morning. Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament, right? Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, sixth one. Wilton Mathematics again, 5 means 6. Here it is, wherefore, and you need to always read what comes before that, that Paul wrote. But he says, because of what has taken place and because of what the Lord has done, he tells us how this all came to be. He says, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin. And by the way, even though Eve had a lot to do in this, Adam is the one that was responsible. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So there it is. That's one verse among many that points to the fallenness of our race. We come to understand another little thing that goes along with this or complements this doctrine is that mankind is totally depraved. Now that's a big line of lingo, isn't it? But what that basically says is what we've already looked at briefly here where I said none of us are as bad as we could be, but none of us are as good as we should be. But Jeremiah 17:9 says this, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Meaning that left to ourselves and at the behest of Satan, we can go to great depths. We can think of many mass murderers. I'm not going to go into all that this morning. We can think of all types of wickedness that take place in this world. And folks, it's taking place right yet today. And even at the very totality of the wickedness of some of these people that we could list and the horrible things they've done, there's that potential that they could have gone further. If someone murdered 30 people, they could have murdered 31. By the way, many times Adolf Hitler is given the rap and he deserves it. But I want to tell you, Chairman Mao is the biggest mass murderer that ever lived from China. By the way, I neglected to say something, so I'm going to. Our deepest sympathy needs to be extended to the Salas family this morning. Some of you may not have been aware that Sandra's father passed away last Sunday. Please forgive me for not, Lord, just, but let it be known. We need to be in prayer for their family. Sandra's there in Peru right at this time. But folks, he could have killed however many he did. He could have done more. We can go a long way because it's what is known as total depravity. We have that potential in us. Now, Kim will bring, you know, she'll corroborate what I'm telling you, but you know yourself, have you ever been in a traffic situation? And someone cuts you off or does some other thing, and usually I'm probably the one, you know, I'm a poke-along out on the roads with my old international pickups. You know, people get upset because I only drive 40. But let's face it, folks, when a simple thing like a traffic violation or someone that does something, what kind of things rear up in us?
Anger.
You talk about road rage, there's situations where I could get out and go around with people. But why doesn't that happen? Because yet to this day, the Holy Spirit has restrained me, along with my wife. You know, Pastor John. Yeah. But let's admit it, we could go a long way, couldn't we? I always remember our little son Mark when he was about 2 years old. And some of you have heard this. I know I repeat myself a lot. He and his older sister Bethany were playing Candyland. And Bethany had set up the deck of cards so she would win. Mark said, "Why does Beth always win?" And Beth, you know, with his teeth missing and so forth. And of course, guess what? Some of the other words were that came out of his mouth. "I'd like to kill you, Beth." Now this is a little sweet. But look at, and you know it yourself. Even babies have tempers. We're a fallen race, and we're capable of much, much worse. Romans chapter 3, verses 5 through 18, quickly. Romans 3, 5 through 18. Again, I can't give you all the scriptures, but these are potent ones. Here it is, Romans 3, 9 through 18. What then, Paul writes, are we better than they? He's talking here about Jews and Gentiles, all right? Jews meaning the descendants of Abraham, and that God had chosen to work with early on in the Bible specifically. But now he's talking to the non-Jew, and he says, are we better than them, he being a Jew? For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. There's no class, you know, that's superior to another one. We're all sinners. By the way, that's where we can unite as humanity, at the foot of the cross. We can't unite over other things. It'll never happen, folks. Jesus said it plainly. This world's never going to have peace till they know the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus. Okay? That's where peace has to begin in our heart. But we're all guilty at the foot of the cross. As it is written, I quoted this already, there is, read this here, class, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you're here this morning and you think you're right, self, and we struggle with self-righteousness, don't we? But we can be assured none of us meets the criteria of perfection because we're fallen. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You see, really, it's God's revelation, and we know this from the Bible's teaching. It isn't that we stumbled into our salvation, it's because God called you. If you're here today saved, it took an act of God's grace and mercy to call you to salvation. This is not something we found on our own. You know, the book of Romans chapter 1 also tells us that the creation is evidence that there is a God. And we already looked at one of the key doctrines, it's creation. But people reject that all the time. But he says, there is none that seeketh after God. No one understands. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become what? See, that's another thing. At our very best, the Bible tells us we're unprofitable servants. Now, is that a reason to get all down? Well, God doesn't care about... No, what he's trying to show us is his glory. That we'd praise him even that much more, that he indeed cared about people like us that are totally depraved. They are all gone out of their way. They are all together. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No. Sorry, that might have burst someone's bubble this morning. But if you get real, you'll know it. Their throat is an open sepulcher, like a grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. I can say without a doubt, every one of us in this room has told a lie sometime in our life. Maybe some today and maybe some en masse today. There could be some people that are home today and they're saying to themselves, well, I have a hangnail this morning, so therefore I'm not going to obey what God's word says and gather together with the other saints. That's a lie, folks. And God knows it. Doug, did you have a hand up or are you scratching your head? Oh, okay. Well, let's keep it all straight. Anyway, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Folks, most of the people that are driving past this building this morning, seeing the cars in the parking lot, are in that category. Praise God if you've been redeemed by the blood today. I'll tell you what, that's a dangerous thing. But there it is, folks. That's the doctrine of the fall of man. We're not right. We need help. Now on to the fifth one this morning. Again, I could go for weeks on each one of these. But point number five, or doctrine number five, that are basics of the Christian faith of salvation, is the virgin birth of Christ. Now, folks, let's just come right to the chase here again on this. Even Mary, who delivered the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that briefly here this morning, she even said to the angel, and it was Gabriel, wasn't it? Help me. I believe it was Gabriel. He says, hey, Mary, you're going to have a child, but you're not going to be with a man. And Mary said, that don't happen, angel. But it happened one time when God delivered his unique son, the God-man, here to earth as the babe of Bethlehem. The virgin birth of Christ is key to our salvation. For our salvation to be possible, which restores us to God, the remedy had to be both divine and sinless. In other words, it had to be God because he's the only one that's divine and he's the only one that's sinless, right? And it also had to be human because it had to be in the prototype of humanity to save humanity. There had to be a class leader without sin of humanity. By the way, there was such a man to start with, Adam. He's known as the first Adam. And now, for us to be delivered, there had to be a second Adam, and that was Jesus Christ, the sinless God-man. He had to be fully human, yet God, without sin, to reclassify or regenerate the fallen race. That could only have been who, folks? Jesus Christ. There is no other remedy given here on this earth. Acts 4:12 said, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only way. Any other religion, any other way, it's the only way. He's the only one, folks. Unique. That's what the word begotten means in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That means his unique, one-of-a-kind son, the God-man. Now, for some of you theologians this morning, that's called the hypostatic union. It's the most awesome thing that could ever have taken place when God became man, yet without sin. That was Jesus. He's unique. There's no other path. Like I've said in these messages prior, the Bible's airtight. You attack it. I'm telling you, folks, it will stand. And what it teaches is airtight in its completeness. I'm here to tell you. By the way, I wouldn't preach anything else up here. You know, why would we want to not teach the full truths of the Word of God and to make known the glory of those truths? Well, we need to. It could only have been Jesus, fully God, fully man, and no sin, the hypostatic union. He received his humanity from the Virgin Mary, but his conception was not a product of sin, but Holy Spirit miracle conception. We're saved by a miracle, literally. Nothing like that. It had to be of God. Mary was the vessel. She was an untouched, sexually young maiden. We'll see that borne out as I read this text. And she carried the God-man. Only the power of God could deliver the race from our sin by the Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's look at that recording this morning in the third gospel, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke 1, 26 through 38. There's some wonderful keys that are given in here in the language. As I mentioned earlier, the language is even airtight in God's Word. None of us could even, we couldn't write it. Well, for me, I couldn't write two words together and get them grammatically correct. But what God's delivered us in His Word, which we looked at prior, tells us the facts. And there's more to it that I can't even bring in this morning, but let's go quickly here. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. And in the 6 months, the angel... Oh, Kim, I was right on one thing today. You're going to... Okay, Kim will rub that in if I was wrong. Was sent from God unto a city in Galilee, a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin. By the way, we don't want to get explicit about things here. But that word virgin in the Greek is the word parthenos, and it means an untouched sexually maiden, young maiden. The scriptures are airtight. She had not been with a man. You can read about what Joseph's account of this was. And he reveals he was one of the greatest patterns for a male species ever. And I can't go into that this morning, but you read about his history. To a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. By the way, Mary means beloved of God. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Meaning, this young lady, Mary, is one of the most blessed ladies ever to have existed, to be the vessel used to bear the God-man. Now, with that said, I preach this on Mother's Day. All you ladies that bear children or that work in the capacity of mothers, you're fulfilling, you're in the stead of this where God is using you. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful blessing that you ladies have. Now, I do say this tongue-in-cheek, but I'm glad you have it and not me. Oh, come on. Can't you laugh this morning? Men, I know my wife. She's tough. I fear to tangle with her even. But I'll tell you what, I don't think I could have gone through what she did when she bore our four beautiful children. And she did throw ice in my face. We were back in those days when it was called Lamaze, natural childbirth. And but it didn't seem too bad to me. Well, for me personally. Anyway, and the angel, help me keep on track here. And when she saw him, she was what? She was troubled at his saying, hey, this doesn't work like this. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. By the way, conception of the human is done by the egg being fertilized by the sperm through the fallopian tubes. But did you, and it's, we're not conceived in the womb. There's a process where the egg and the sperm are fertilized. Well, where the sperm fertilized the egg. But he says, you're going to conceive where? In your womb. This was not a violation of her virginity. Okay? And bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Jehovah saves is what Jesus means. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, saying, I don't know a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing. What's important about that thing? Uniqueness. Okay? That's how it's described. Which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, well, I was going to stop there for time's sake, but I just reference you to verse 37. And folks, today, no matter what you're going through in your life, remember verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. This was the divine thing that took place. If Jesus were not born of a virgin, he could not be the sinless Savior. Enough said. Point number six. A V and an I mean six, right? The substitutionary atonement. The substitutionary atonement. John, why do you use these big words? Are you speaking Christianese to us today or what? No, but atonement means covering. And we're going to explore that. I'll just go right into the text here. Jesus took our place of punishment by God the Father for my or our sin, which was eternal death, both physical but also eternal death in hell. He covered or atoned for our sin with his sinless blood. I heard a yes. Can I hear, is anyone even encouraged about that this morning? You know, I prayed this morning, Larry and I prayed that God had wake the dead today. This is not stuff to be dead about. I got to be careful, I'll crack the pulpit. And it's been here a long time. That would be my ticket. But maybe we need to see it cracked. I don't know if people are excited about the Lord. Sometimes I'm not as I should be even, right? Anyway, there it is. He covered our sins with his shed blood, his sinless blood. So God the Father now sees Jesus' righteous blood covering ours when he sees those that have believed on his Son. Folks, my life's a mess. Jesus' blood's covered it. God can't endorse me as a human being on anything that I've done. He can only accept me. He can only declare me righteous. He has done that on the basis of the blood of his Son, Jesus. And that's the case for all of us in this room today. Only the power of God. Wait a minute, I'm on the wrong track here. I was reading, that's what happens when you have trifocals. You see things that aren't there, but yet they're there, just in the wrong place. He sees his Son Jesus' blood when he looks at our sin. Hebrews 9:22. This is a fact, and as you look into the Old Testament, you'll see this borne out. You see, the Old Testament foreshadows what took place in the New, and the New Testament describes why it took place in the Old Testament. I'm very cool with preaching out of both of them all the time, because they're not, they're, while they're separate, they're together. You can't. But notice what it says in 9:22, and I'm still off a page. I already know what it says, but I'm going to read it so it's correct. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. You go read about this, what took place when Jesus, or when God through the Lord showed this picture of what was to take place. Blood had to be sprinkled for the sins of the people. See, there was a sacrificial system, but Jesus is the substitutionary once for all practice in reality of the sacrificial system. He paid once for all of us with his blood, which was sprinkled for our behalf at the foot of the cross of Calvary. 9:22, I didn't finish it, did I? On almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. That word remission means cancellation. How many of you have ever been dead or borrowed money? What's one of the best days that ever comes? When you've made your last payment. And usually they used to do this immediately when you paid off your note. They had a stamp, it was in blue ink, and there was a stamp that came on that and it said, paid in full. And you always said, oh, this is wonderful. Of course, if you're like me, a farmer, you usually had to turn around and do it again. Start all over. But there was always that hope. They're going to stamp that. Now, the last times I've paid them off, they sent them in the mail to you a few weeks later. That takes the thrill out of it. Because sometimes you have to borrow again before you've got the one in the mail back. I just tell you how it is. Remission means it's canceled. By the way, when you borrow money today, it's a big deal. They've got you forwards, backwards, upside down, right side up. Jammed up, and they got you. It used to be you could go in and just say, I need to borrow some money for, no problem, go ahead. You could even write the checks early, and they cover them. I even knew a guy that wrote a check for cattle in Nebraska when he forgot his checkbook on a blank piece of paper, and the bank honored it. Folks, we don't live in those days. But you know what? Not anymore. But you know what? The Lord's still canceling out debt today for people. Aren't you glad? Do you have the stamp on your life? Amen. Genesis 22, 7 through 13. Now, I might need some Kleenex. Genesis 22, 7 through 13. By the way, if you didn't notice it, I'm trying to get us done early today, but I don't think it's going to happen. So we might have to do another return for 1 point. But I'll add something to it so you get your money's worth. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father. You remember the scenario here? God told Abraham what? Take your son, take him out to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. Kill him. Shed his blood. And so you can read what took on before this. He took the lad up on the mountain. He was probably a teenager. The language shows that was likely the case. They're picking up wood. Abraham's binding him to an alder. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You know, I always think about my children, in particular our sons. I cracked up the other day. I got to lighten this for just a minute. Our children, in part, went to Lutheran school years ago at the Zion up in Wilton, the LCMS church. But I never forget one night we were having a discussion at the table, and our son Mark, I call him Tubby now, and I get in trouble for that because he says, well, it's the pot calling the kettle black. And he's a good-looking guy. He stands about 2 inches higher than I do. And that's not just me. He is a good-looking guy. But he said, Dad, was Martin Luther a big Lutheran? Serious as could be. I say, yeah, Mark, he was a big Lutheran. Do you even get what I'm saying? He was the founder of the Lutheran Church. But Mark didn't grab that yet. But the truth is, it should be me that's on that altar. I mean, you know, because I'm the one that deserves that. But let's go on. Kim, I see you're teared up a little bit. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and as they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What would you think about that? I don't think I could have done it with my boys. Tongue in cheek, there's been times I could have got close. But seriously, could I have done this? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of God, of the Lord, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Don't lay your hand on the lad. Neither do anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Folks, that's God doing with Jesus on the cross for us. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket of the thorns, in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him a burnt offering instead of his son. That's the substitutionary atonement. Christ dying in our place. We should have been on that cross. Not him, but he took it. He was the Lamb of God. John 1:29, John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus, he said what? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If Jesus didn't take our place, we will have to pay in hell for eternity. We must accept the substitutionary atonement of Christ to be saved. You want to go for the last point and wind her up today? Who are the powers that be here this morning? Yep, let's do it. And we'll still be done early. I'm going to put it in high gear. Point number seven. Jesus' death and bodily resurrection. Jesus came as a body from his mother Mary. We just talked about that. He died in bodily form and he rose again in bodily form. But the key here is the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, there's not much point in believing the other doctrines. These are not take it or leave it doctrines. They're all in a package. Or you're likely not saved. Jesus had to die as the perfect sacrifice for sin because God told Adam and Eve the penalty for disobedience or sin is death, physical and spiritual. Genesis 2:17, quickly. And we're already back there in Genesis. Oop, I need some help. Well, maybe later. Well, if you want to grab it. Thank you, Jaden. Yeah, go ahead and pick them up. In case you don't know, this is kind of how my whole operation is. It's together, but subject to faultiness. Genesis 2:17. Thank you, Jaden. Here it is. God says, but of the tree, and you can read the text that goes around this, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, read it to me, class. Physical and spiritual. And that's exactly what they did, because the old serpent tricked Eve and she fell for it rather than obeying God's word. By the way, today, if Satan's trying to tell you not to believe this word, you're in danger. You will be duped. And the consequences of it are deadly. They are deadly. Anyway, spiritual and physical death, and spiritual death, if not covered by some superior sacrifice, in effect, a sinner cannot redeem another sinner. None of us humanly can help another person with what we would give as our sacrifice, because we're the same thing. It's got to be superior. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but, and I always say, thank God for buts, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here it is, folks. Jesus really died and he really rose bodily as the prototype for those he died for. We as believers shall receive new life and a new body. Anyone in here this morning that's over about 40? If you haven't figured it out by now, your body's not getting better. And for a lot of us that are ways over 40, we know that our bodies are deteriorating somewhat rapidly. We try to tinker with them, and we're blessed to have many things that can be done to help us. But you know what, folks, today, if I hadn't had some help, I wouldn't be standing here probably before you today. And many of you are in that same situation. But eternally, we can't be fixed because we're defective. We're under the curse. But, you know, in the resurrection, for the believer, we're going to have a new glorified body, never to have pain, death, suffering, any of the above again. Amen! Is anyone awake this morning? No, I'll go see my doctor. He or she will fix me. No. They can do some things, but we're not fixed. Jesus, the great physician, can fix you. He can heal you today. We are not going to be affected as believers by spiritual death because of Jesus' resurrection power over death. It wasn't enough for him just to come to the cross and shed his blood and to bear in his body our sins. But after all that took place, he rose again and declared victory over sin, death, and the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That ought to be enough to get someone up and dancing this morning. Well, maybe you have too much pain. But it's a reminder. 1 Corinthians 15:14-23. 1 Corinthians 15:14-23. When I mention 1 Corinthians 15, what comes to mind? Resurrection. You ought to read the whole chapter sometime. 1 Corinthians 15:14-23. I'll read this quickly and we'll be dismissed. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching... then is our preaching vain. I don't know what sporting events, meet the press or defeat the press or whatever's on Sunday mornings, but if Christ isn't risen, we might as well go do that. By the way, I could have taken a trip and looked at the leaves today. Maybe some did, that these seats that are empty. But I'm here, why? Because the preaching is not in vain today. It is not a wasteful, useless use of time. It's important because Jesus rose. The picture is completed. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, who he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For in other words, a lie has been taught. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Today, I don't know everyone intimately here, but if you're struggling with this issue of the resurrection in particular, along with maybe some of these other core doctrines of the Christian faith, you're living in vain if you think there's hope for you. Because if Jesus didn't bodily rise, it's all irrelevant. He rose. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. There's no hope of heaven. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if this is all it's about, this is as good as it's going to get. And let me tell you, folks, in the eternal sense, it's headed downhill every day. Second law of thermodynamics and so forth. It's becoming, our lives are becoming more corrupt every day apart from Christ. Our bodies. But Paul tells it here. He says, but now is, which means what? Present tense. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. See, Jesus is the prototype for the resurrection. One day Jesus is going to appear in the air today, folks. And there's going to be a big resurrection. The graves are going to be opened. The living are going to go meet him in person without tasting death. But there's going to be a resurrection of the saints, folks, and we'll be given those new bodies. Just to be clear, when we die today, our souls go in the presence of the Lord, but it awaits the uniting of the body. That's what's coming. Don't miss it. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's Jesus, the second Adam. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. There it is, folks. There's your text. Jesus rose victoriously for our sakes and is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, awaiting the day that the dead in Christ shall be bodily raised to new life in the resurrection. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I can't do it anymore because I'm declining. I used to be able to jump in the air and kick my heels. Old timers at Fruitland, tell me what that verse is. It's found right there in the text a little ways down the line, about 20-some verses ahead. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ, if you have accepted these key doctrines, by the way, I don't use the word cardinal doctrines, because cardinal doesn't talk about the bird that we know as a cardinal. It's talking about another religion that relies on cardinal doctrines. I rely on the truth doctrines of God's word. These are basics of the faith. And if you're lacking one or more of these, friends, you're not destined for heaven. But maybe you're searching. But I hope today, and what we've learned in the last few weeks, has given you the complete package. And I want to just say it again. They're essential basics of the Christian faith. If you doubt any or all, you're not headed for heaven and peace with God. And by the way, that's what he wants. Remember, we started this off. Therefore, being what? Justified by faith, we have peace with God. No matter what anyone tells you, and your response is important. And to cut right to the chase, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and these doctrines here about him, Jesus is the key. He's the key to all this. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will what? You will be saved. Romans 10:13. It's up to you. I can't save you, but God will. And if he's calling you today, if you've slipped up on these and you have questions, I'll sit here with you and I'll talk to you about these things. I can't bring this to be in your life, but you can simply be born again by trusting Jesus Christ and believing that who he says he is. And folks, what he has already done prophetically, in part, because he's done that, you'll be able to trust him for what will prophetically take place in the future. We need to know the person of Jesus Christ, and he's waiting for you today. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, or it's on the screen, as I dig through my pile here. Someone help me. Number 816. Have thine own way. Let's stand if you're able. You know, it's something that's really interesting about the Lord. He doesn't force anyone to do anything. And I think there may be people, could be even people here today, I don't know, that say, I want it my way. That's a common thing that goes along with what we talked about earlier. I'm okay, I want it done my way. And you know what? God will let you go. If that's your will, that you disobey him, that you reject him, and you want to be bound for hell, he's going to let you. But if today you'll turn to him and approach him, and you say to him, Lord, have your way with me, that's what this song is about, he'll enter into your life, and it'll be a great thing. See, I'm going to cry again if I go any further, but do you have the message today? Or we can hammer away for another 15 minutes. But I think it's been made fairly plain. It's time for you and I now to deal with the Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have a wonderful afternoon in the Lord, but take time to consider what his word has told us today. Dean Naylor, send us home with the Lord's blessing. Sweet.
Lord, you